Father, you know that I love this place. I love these people. You brought me up amongst them, Lord, and my family, and they are my family. You know that while I prepared, I so longed to bring a message from your heart. Lord, I so long to bless them. I so long for your heart to come across, because you've used them to bring your heart across to me. Lord, you know that as I've prayed and looked into Scripture, Lord, I have longed that you would come and be with us in this place. Lord, I pray that I will not care about the opinions of men, but I will not fear men right now. But Lord, that I will fear you and tremble before you and speak the word of God. Lord, the word that you've put in my heart, I will speak openly. Lord, I pray that you'd give my own heart ears to hear what you're saying. Lord, as a family, could we hear what you're saying, Lord? Lord, will you do something in this place right now? Lord, I don't believe speaking about things does any good unless you come. Lord, unless you move. Lord, unless your power is present. Lord, but I believe that as a people, we can call on your presence right now. We can call upon your power. Lord, you've been with us all this time. And we ask you to come even more, Lord. Lord, reveal your presence and your power in this place, Lord, in a fresh and new way. Lord, we're expectant, very expectant of you to do something in our hearts, not because of any men, but just because of who you are. Lord, we worship you. We look to you now in Jesus' name. I grew up amongst this church, and I guess I'm what they call a second-generation Christian. I grew up in a house where my parents knew the Lord, my family knew the Lord, and maybe some of you or many of your first generation, maybe second generation, maybe many more. But as I grew up in church, I am so thankful for what the Lord did through you and using you. And I always knew I was lost. I know some people always have this kind of knowledge. I always kind of loved God. That wasn't me. I still remember one time I was about 7 years old, and he preached and he said, if you don't know of your surety with God, if your rightness with God and you're going to heaven, then you're probably not right. And I knew as a 7 year old that I wasn't right. And people could talk to me all they wanted about the age of accountability. They could talk to me all about, well, you know, you have to make your own, you have to grow up and make your own choices. And I knew at that time I was not right with God. And in my heart, and as I'd go to bed at night, I would know. I would lay there and I would just pray. I would say, Lord, I'm not right with you. There's something wrong. I know there's something wrong. Please forgive me. Please change me. I did that for many years. And all the time God was working and moving. And I don't want to spend the whole time in testimony, but I do want to say this, that the power of God in this place, as I grew up in my family through different things, sometimes in great intensity, sometimes small intensity, the power of God was present. And He saved me. And He saved me. I remember growing up, you know, the person who was best at basketball or was the fastest runner in elementary, like, oh, I wish I could be like him. Oh, or I wish I could, oh, look at that person. And, you know, their parents have a huge house and they got a trampoline in the backyard. Oh, I wish I was that person. And then when God saved me, it changed everything. And I just thought, I am so glad I'm me. Like, I wouldn't want to be anybody else in the world. No one else in the world. And there was one, I think, I was thinking through all the truths that I learned growing up. There was one that I wouldn't, maybe it's not the most important truth in the church, but it's the one that had such an impact on me, and that was that there is one mediator between Christ and or between God and us, Christ Jesus. And I remember that thought being thinking, man, I can go to Jesus and I can talk to God and God will speak to me. And I remember thinking, this is the most wild, shocking, extraordinary thing. I mean, I just remember I'd meditate on it and think, wow. And then I would pray. And I would pray out of that place. And if Christianity has grown dull for you, or some lull or some boredom in your heart about it, you just need to think upon these truths. I mean, they're almost insane when you read them. They shouldn't be. They should not be. Men should not be able to speak with a holy God. You know, I was reading this story about this Chinese Christian. It was historical fiction, but he gets to heaven. And there's a moment in there. And our king, he grabs a crown of righteousness and he brings it. And he starts bringing it towards this human. And I just said, no. It just can't be. Our King of Kings should not be putting a crown of righteousness upon our heads. It just shouldn't happen. It's not normal. It is not normal. I grew up in the church and I heard these truths. I am a second generation Christian in that sense. There's nothing ordinary about it. It is completely extraordinary. It's shocking. And sometimes we need to be shocked back into reality. Now, I really don't know what to say to you this morning. I really don't. I mean, I had a scripture that through the week that I felt the Lord bless me with, but I was praying last night. I mean, it's so easy to speak here. Every time I've spoken, it's so easy. Because as soon as I start praying, I just feel this blessing in my heart that God is so for Bethel. God so loves Bethel. There is such power in His name for Bethel. And I don't know exactly what to speak or get through. I can just sense the heart of God as I read different scriptures, as I pray. And I sense it. And I'll probably do a terrible time trying to get the exact words. But I believe that the Lord wants us at least to turn to John 4. And I want to challenge you, everyone, this morning. As I was praying, I believe last night, the Lord just so communicated to my heart. In one sense, I think a prophetic message for the church this morning is something for you to really contemplate. And I think, let the elders and everyone in this church listen to this and then think about it biblically if this is for you or not. This morning, some of the things I'm going to say. There's some very specific things I'm going to say to you. I'm going to try to get away from generalities. But if we go into John chapter 4, we're only going to read a little bit. We'll go to verse 6. It said, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Up to verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I want to say this to you this morning. If you've tasted of heavenly waters, you will never, ever be satisfied with just the things of the world. I think one preacher put it this way, a child of the king will never be satisfied with the things of this earth. Never. And God, He's talking to the Samaritan woman. Again, it's a situation that's shocking. We might read and it just seems normal. He's sitting there, we've heard the story so many times, but it's shocking. He's not supposed to be in Samaria. He's not supposed to be speaking to this woman. She's shocked. But he says to her, if you knew who I was, if you knew the gift that I had, you would ask me. Now, I believe the Lord wants to clearly communicate this morning that you are to long after Him with all your heart. And whoever ever tells you you should be satisfied with anything else is a liar. You were made to drink of the deep rivers of God. You will never be satisfied with a few minutes of prayer and looking at scriptures once in a while and living your life. You will never be satisfied. God has for you to press into His presence. He has for you to keep going, and not just as individuals. As I was praying this last night, I feel that emphasized in my heart, not just for individuals. As a church, as Bethel Fellowship, you are to press into the presence of God. What does that mean? You know, and there's a lot of, I think, young men and young women, they'll come sometimes to older men and older women who are wiser, and they'll say, you know, when I first met the Lord, I was so hungry, and I wanted Him, and everything was good and nice, and now it's kind of grown dull, and some men give good answers, and some women give good answers, but some do not. And I don't think I've always given good answers to people who have said that to me. But I believe there is a sense and wisdom in men that say, well, look, you need to believe in God and not rely on your feelings. And that is true. Our Christian faith is not built upon feelings. But there's a truth that goes along with that in believing God. And that's this. If you're feeling dry, you need to get a Bible. You need to get alone with God. And you need to go after Him. You need to pursue Him with all your heart. Let me ask you a question. Are you scared that if you tell someone to seek God with all their heart, that they won't find Him? Are you scared that if you turn your television set off at night and seek Him for 3-4 hours at a time, that somehow your life is going to grow dull and boring? Is there any fear? Is there anything? Sometimes there is in me. Sometimes there's that nagging doubt. Don't want to be like that. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to go too extreme. Sometimes there's that reservation in my heart. But the Lord has not let me go. And I know I will never, never be satisfied unless I am in a place where God is causing me to seek Him with all His heart and to search Him out. It's why I was made. That's why He saved me. And not just that. He wants me to drink of these deep, deep waters. He wants the church to drink of these deep, deep waters. And then it wants us to go out into the world and proclaim that He is everlasting life. God wants the church to confront the powers of darkness. To stand in front of them in foolishness and say, look, our God satisfies, our God saves, our God is real. A lot of methods may work. You know, in evangelism, there's methods, there are different ways of doing things. But in the end, I mean, we have to live thirsty for God and then point people to Him, don't we? And so I want to share this, maybe just for a minute. I want to say this. I believe that God is leading Bethel Fellowship forward. To not look backwards. And I believe last night as I was praying, Lord, is there anything that I could say, anything specific that You want me to translate to the heart? And the thing that kept coming back and back and back and back is tell them I want them to pray in this way. I do not want them to just pray in generalities. They have to be done with that. I want them to pray like this. When they pray, I want them to believe that I will answer. Now, what does that mean? That means you write it down sometimes. That means that you obey the biblical teaching on prayer found in Luke 18, that there's this widow, right? And her husband's died. And she's left with nothing. She's destitute of everything. She has no hope. None. And that's really the position of Bethel Fellowship with all God. There is no hope. There's no methods that are going to help us by themselves. But that woman, she just keeps going to this judge, this wicked, evil judge, and she just keeps asking him and asking him, avenge me, avenge me. There's an inheritance for my husband who's died. There's something there. I want my money. And this judge does not care. He doesn't care about men. He doesn't care about her. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about anything. But she just keeps saying it. She's this old widow, and she just keeps saying, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. And he starts to get worn down. I think it took a while, but he keeps doing it. Now, this is the way that the Lord's taught us how to pray. The devil might sneak in and say, well, you don't really believe. If you keep praying, you're not believing. You're not believing the situation. You prayed that if you believed it. Or he might steal and say, you can pray all you want. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. But Jesus teaches, avenge me. Avenge me. And this wicked, evil judge who didn't fear man, he didn't fear God, he was beaten down and worn out. And he gave her her inheritance. That is the kind of prayer that God absolutely loves. If you're seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you're seeking for Him to refresh you, you have a child or a loved one or a friend, you're seeking boldness in evangelism, you're seeking peace and faith in the heart, God has given you something. You're to go to Him. Now look, this is not an individual. This is not just for individuals. This is for the Church of Bethel Fellowship. You cannot isolate yourselves. You can't just live your individual American lives, even in prayer and Bible study. You're to get together. I believe this is the heart of God. You are to get together, maybe formally or informally, and you're to go to God. And you don't quit praying about something unless He tells you to pray in a different way or it happens. You don't stop. You have no right to stop. You're not supposed to stop. Otherwise, your prayers become useless because you utter them in a meeting or whatever. You utter them and you walk out the door and you never remember what you said. And you totally forget that God is absolutely faithful. And you're not putting the test to Him. God wants you to put Him to the test. Not to question Him. But to so come to Him again and again and again and again and say, Lord, I'm weak. I don't have much faith. But You've told me to come to You. Until He relents and He gives you what you're asking Him. That means if someone comes into the church is seeking the Lord, at least a group of two or three of you, you get together and you do not stop praying so that person either knows the Lord, dies, or moves a long ways away and put someone else in charge of praying for him. You do not give up. That means if you're struggling with a problem with bitterness, alcohol, drugs, lust, pornography, anything of that sort, you get a few people together and you pray and you do not stop until you know that God has faithfully delivered you. You can't stop because God is faithful. In your stopping, you're giving up. And you're basically saying that God is not faithful. God has not answered. He will answer. He does not always answer the exact way that you start praying. But He always answers. Ponder this in your heart today. I would ask you. Ponder this in your heart. The miracles that you would see if you would get together and would just keep coming to God and coming to God and coming to God and coming to God. I mean, so much prayer sometimes is praying about people who are having surgery and you don't want them to die during the surgery or you want them to go well, and those are okay, but they're not the center of the heart of prayer in the Bible. If you look at Paul's prayer, oh, that God would open the understanding, the eyes of my heart, that You would know, and then move on forward, that You would know the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God. These are the prayers that we bring to Him and we pray. If you're feeling dry spiritually, you get together with people and you ask them to pray and you pray and you pray and you pray until it happens. Because God is not a fable. And He's not a principle. He is a person who answers. And He answers powerfully. And it's so easy to sit back and not pursue God and kind of get dull and dreary and then say, oh, where is God? Where is God? And I have to wrap up. I didn't get to say, a tenth of what I would like to say to you. But it comes back to this well of everlasting life as well. Bethel Fellowship, you guys, you have an inheritance of God. And you're privileged as Christians. I mean, who cares? I think I can gladly say this, especially this year. Who cares about the Vikings? Right? Who cares? You weren't built for that. That will never satisfy. Never. Doesn't mean that you're a terrible person for watching them, although you might be a very sad person. But if God wants you to seek Him. And not just in a way where you seek Him and then you go home and eat Him and He's kind of out of your mind. No. He wants you to seek Him in such a way that He encounters you, changes you. And not just once in your life. I mean, praise God for Him encountering me when I was younger. But you know, when I was in my teenage years, when I was in this church, when I was struggling with things I don't want to tell you because I don't want to put them in your mind. I'm not ashamed of them. I've spoken about them. But they were real struggles. They were wicked things. And God delivered me. But at 28, I am hungry for the power and the Spirit of God. You know, at my school, I weekly share with people. Not, I don't mean to say every week, but in my weakness, I stumble with a big fat tongue. I can't articulate how good God is to me. And I just so want the power of God to come in and save them and change their lives. You know, some of you young men and women, God has called you to walk in His power, to seek Him, to know the kingdom of heaven. To know the kingdom of heaven, invade, what would they say, the kingdom of earth. What do you mean by that? I go back to Jesus' prayer, our Father who art, you know, in heaven, and it goes on, thy kingdom come. I have to close. I want to say this. On the cross, Paul said that God made an open spectacle of every demonic, satanic power and person. You guys, you're not, there's no enemies here amongst yourselves, and you're not fighting against each other. What does it say? It said it's the evil, it's the powers of this. Paul said in Ephesians 6, he said, look, it's the darkness of the world. It's not flesh and blood. It's these evil things. Now, an open spectacle on the cross has been made. Paul says that on the cross, Satan was defeated. Paul prayed probably more than any person ever prayed on this earth. Do you think the two things are related? Do you think they're related? God, Jesus, completely destroyed Satan on the cross. Paul prayed probably more than anybody. We know that. He always talks about, I pray. God's heart is that we would get together, understand that Satan's defeated, and then pray until we see the actual evidence worked out in everyday life. Are we going to fail? Absolutely. What do? We come back to Him again and again and again. Maybe if I could close with this, I would ask you to humble yourself when you're struggling. Call a brother or sister in the church and ask them if you can pray with them. Come to the Wednesday night meeting and very shortly, don't make long prayer requests, but very shortly just say, this is what I'm struggling with, will you pray for me? Humble yourself. And then I would ask you guys to do another thing. When someone calls you and asks you for prayer, don't give them advice. Don't try to tell them how you would do it. Just pray for them. They're saying, I'm weak, will you pray for me? You say, I'm weak, I'll pray for you. He's strong, His power will come. There's a victory. The Satan is defeated. You do not have to fear him. You do not have to fear. And in Minnesota, as a people, you can get together and you can know the power and the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we could just stand as a church. If you consider yourself to be a part of this church or really the universal church, any part of the church, you could just stand together. And just look to your left. Look to your right. We're at war with the enemy, and he's come to destroy our souls. But God has put you in a family, and you're to stand with one another. You do not let someone in the church come under attack from the enemy without praying and crying out to the Lord for him. You do not let drugs or any other kind of device that Satan would use, including bitterness or pride, to destroy your brother. You link together and you pray. And you stand against the enemy who is defeated. And you see the power of God keep you. So let's just, if we could just link arms and just I'll pray. Pray together. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. I ask you, Father, you said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Lord, hell cannot penetrate. Lord, Satan would come to destroy us. He'd come to destroy our faith. He'd come to so discourage us. He has a different method for every man and woman in this church. Everybody struggles with something different. Lord, we'd ask that you'd make us humble. Humble enough to pray. Humble enough to cry out to you. Lord, I ask that if people need prayer, they will call every single person in the church until someone prays for them. As Jordy says, there will be no pity parties. You'll continue calling and calling and calling. Lord, I pray that there'll be a grace in this place. Lord, that we won't be people who just give out advice. But Lord, we will cry out to the King of Kings, and we will not stop because you are faithful, because you answer prayer, God. Lord, because in the church there is a power and a protection, and there is a love. Lord, we pray right now that you will drive back demonic hindrances in the church that are coming to bring division, Lord. Demonic hindrances, Lord, that have come. Lord, Satan's device to rise up one with pride. Lord, to tempt one with alcohol. Lord, we stand against them. Lord, we're a family who you've died for. Lord, we ask you, protect us. Help us love one another. Lord, transform the whole culture of our lives. Lord, prayer is an impossibility unless you move in us and create such a hunger that we cannot live without it, Lord. Lord, come in and mess up our schedules, Lord. Come and mess up our priorities. Lord, bring a culture of prayer in this church, Lord, that Satan cannot move, that Jesus might be glorified. We pray because you're sovereign, Lord, because you answer prayer and you save people. Lord, we ask that you would give us specific people in this church to pray for. We will not just generally pray for men to be saved in Mineota and the surrounding areas. Lord, you will particularly give us men to target and to pray. Lord, until you tell us to pray for someone else or until you save them, God. Lord, we ask for those who have been in this family and somehow been separated. Lord, we ask that you will bring them back in Jesus' name. Lord, prayer, Lord, is acknowledging your great strength and our great weakness. So we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. But we do not say that there is failure. There is weakness, but there is victory in Jesus' name. Lord, you made an open spectacle on the cross. Lord, you shamed every power that is against us. And Lord, we claim your victory for Bethel Fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.